We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, welcome to the RotoWire DFS show. I'm Adam Zadrug, joined by Ryan Belangi to discuss Sunday's three-game slate at DraftKings. We have a weird slate, but we just got done with Saturday's matches. Ryan did not win 20,000. He got second in a couple contests, unfortunately. But, I mean, I guess I didn't ask you. I assume you're still in the green for today, right? I don't know. You can't hear me. Looks like Ryan froze. But this three-match slate we have here is one of the crazy – I don't know if crazy is the right word, but a different slate than what we've seen in prior days, in the past week, really. We can see here on the cheat sheet, rotowire.com/soccer trial. You can get a free two-day trial. Just go to that link, but you can get this cheat sheet. And we can see here, Belgium is the biggest favorite, 47%. Croatia, 44%. Spain, 42%. So it's the first slate here that we don't have a favorite over 50% to win. Ryan, there he is. Ryan, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh no! It looks like we got Crystal Palace internet issues with Ryan. We'll see. Hopefully, he can figure it out here. I don't really want to do this one solo here, but he is freezing on me. But so the problem here with this slate, Belgium are the biggest favorite, but their implied goal total is 1.48, and the implied total in that match is the lowest on the slate at 2.53. You got Croatia, 1.50, Spain, 1.61. Germany, as an underdog, is at 1.42, which is actually just under Belgium for the implied goal total. So this is a really weird slate from what we've seen. There's going to be – I have no idea what the public's going to do, because this isn't like a slate where we have like a Neymar, we have like a Brazil team, we have France and Mbappe, we have guys that stand out. I don't think this is a slate where guys actually stand out. I mean, I guess you could say that about De Bruyne, but I'm not sure he's going to be that popular as it is. But Ryan is here. Ryan,
I think I'm back.
Okay. Is the internet? Yeah. Is the internet good in Crystal Palace, or what's going on?
Sometimes it's not good here. I don't know. It's a long story. Anyways, it should be good now. I cut out when I think you were asking me if I was still in the green for the World Cup.
Yeah.
I think so, fortunately, yeah.
I guess I only meant for today, but I guess
sorry.
For the entire World Cup, I mean, okay.
Oh, no. Today, still in the green for the day, but right. Yeah, just another tough beat at the end, another second place in the King of the Pitch, just sort of like killed my mood. I mean, not gonna dwell on it, but I was up like almost 30 or 25 against Messi, and I had Ochoa and Montiel, and they combined for 1 point, and I lost on that last assist. But anyways, yeah, continue with this slate. Not going to complain about that.
I pretty much read off the odds. Do you have any early takes on these matches? I'll get into some of my thoughts on these a bit later, but just like general thought on here. I mentioned De Bruyne maybe being most popular, but maybe not. It's really hard to say who like the public's actually going to gravitate towards.
Yeah, my first take is that it's a bunch of low implied totals, like the lowest group I can remember.
Well, outside of the Spain-Germany match, really, because that one's sure, at 3.03.
Like, yeah, that one. But, like, no team has a – who's got the highest? Spain, 1.57? Mine might be a little behind.
1.61 is the update.
I see now, 1.61. Okay, well, that's the lowest we've had for the World Cup so far for the top team. I mean, that Spain-Germany game, I don't know. It might have goals. It might not. These other games.
Yeah, right.
KDB is still the first one I want to target. I feel like the public will feel the same way. I don't know. It seems obvious. Like, there's not a lot else. I mean, Luka Modric for cash games, maybe some other people. But, yeah, I just don't think – this is a weird slate. Also, like, as far as the positions go, forward is going to be interesting to talk about because
– interesting or difficult?
I mean, you could argue that there's, like, no cash plays at all, depending on the Spain lineup. Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I was going to say this is almost like there's 5 to 6 midfielders maybe that you're comfortable with playing in cash games, but maybe no forwards that you're actually comfortable with. I mean, the Danny Olmo question is kind of what you're referencing here. So if he starts, but it's a third match, so I guess we have to look at the price difference here, what we're dealing with. So we got Danny Olmo at 8,600. Ferran Torres is 8,400. I guess there's a chance Morata starts at 7,600. But really, the thought is that if Olmo doesn't start, it's probably going to be Sarabi up there, who's midfield only. And that's kind of where the problems enter. Because if you're already looking at other midfielders, this is probably isn't going to be in your utility spot. You're probably playing Olmo as a forward.
Right.
So at that point, like, if you're counting on Olmo, you'd have to move to like a Germany guy or Ferran Torres. Would you be comfortable with having to do that?
Yeah, I think it'd be fine. I mean, okay. I don't think there's that much difference between Olmo and Ferran. I mean, I know Olmo took a few corners last game, but would Ferran, if Olmo's not out there?
He might, but actually, okay. Right. I guess if Morata isn't starting, Torres would also be on PKs, so.
Right, yeah, so no, I'd be fine. I'd be fine doing that. So, it seems safe to put Olmo there if you want to.
Yeah, because otherwise it's kind of iffy. So, I mean, people put in Gnabry last match. He had a floor of 13.8 points, three shots on goal, 6 shots. He had like one sequence in 30 seconds where he got 5 points because he had a shot assisted, a shot on goal or something.
Yeah.
Maybe back to 6
points,
shots on
actually.
Goal,
I
like
saw
that.
3 shots on goal in the span of like 30 seconds. Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, there was like, it might have been the train that was on Gnabry in that match because his ownership was pretty high in cash games. Again, I'm not going to go there. You take away that 30-second sequence, and, I mean, he's still fine at around 8 points. But are you looking that was obviously a different matchup, but are you looking at any of the Germany guys, really?
No. That was a great matchup, and it turned out to be a great script because they went down, right?
Well, yeah, they're up chasing. and then they went down. So they pushed the final
it
was. It
ended up being a great spot for Germany floor points. No, I never want to play anybody against Spain. No forwards, no midfielders. I mean, maybe we'll have a conversation when we get to defense. But yeah, no attackers for Germany, not for me.
So we got Mishi Batshuayi, 7,300. I'm not sure if this is the matchup for him. I mean, we talked about him in that first game. He got the only goal. What, he finished with 5 shots? I mean, that's pretty much to be expected. We can look at his goal odds here. It's still tops on the slate. So I guess people will still look at him, but I just don't know if I want to do that again.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I mean, he got bailed out last time on long ball over the top from Alderweireld. I mean, yeah, I think a lot of people were disappointed until that goal just randomly came. Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't want to do that for 7,300. I mean,
yeah, I will say the difference here, like the Canada back line is just MLS guys, the guys in MLS. I mean, this isn't the bash MLS show, but you look at Morocco, you got Romain Saïss, former Wolverhampton center back, and then you got Aguerd, who's recently signed with West Ham. You got these pretty solid guys here, and then you got the Canada guys that play for like Montreal and, I don't know, Nashville or something. It's just not a one-to-one comparison to where like people were fine with Batshuayi on the last slate. I think that was just more because of the matchup. I'm not sure this is as good of matchup is kind of what I'm getting
at. Yeah, I think it was priced to, what was he, like 6,100 or something? Now he's 73. So, yeah, that's not really something I want to do.
Yeah, so we basically take the Belgium forwards out. I guess what it says, okay, Hazard the midfield only. We take those guys out. So we take Germany out. We have maybe one Spanish guy. You probably don't want to play two Spain guys in cash games.
Nope.
So we're left with Croatia, who, you know, their forwards are, all these guys are possible to be subbed off at 45. None of them are really stand out. Perisic is midfield only. And so we're down to Morocco and Canada.
Yep.
So that's kind of what we're dealing with here. So let's look at the options for Morocco and Canada. And the question I think we have here is, we got Junior Hoylett, who would have a split of set pieces, but he's going against Croatia. He's 6,500. And so Ziyech is midfield only. What would we look at for Morocco? I guess we'd only look at En-Nesyri because he's 4,100. Is that what you're going with here?
That's what we got here. Yeah, seriously. Okay. Well, yeah, En-Nesyri, yeah, 4,100. I mean, obviously he's like the opposite of a cash play, but
honestly, you just go him because he's so cheap, right?
Right, exactly. It like doesn't even matter. You could take a zero there if you have the right construction, I feel like. I still wouldn't want to do it. As far as Hoylett, I don't want to do that either. 58 minutes, and that's about what I would expect from him all the time. But
4 passes. Whoa, not very good.
Yeah, I mean, the same price as Jonathan David. I mean, give me Jonathan David over Hoylett.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Look, he took 7 shots and he's going to play 90 minutes. I mean, if you got to do it, I'm just saying, if I had Junior Hoylett in my lineup, I'm playing Jonathan David instead 100% of the time. I mean, maybe I'm in the minority on that, but I don't want Junior Hoylett's 4-point floor.
No, I do agree with you. That was my initial build here, has David in it instead of Hoylett, because, well, first off, I actually think this matchup is more difficult for Canada. Croatia just seems like they played better together than Belgium. So I'm not sure, like, if you're actually hoping for, you know, Hoylett to have all these corners, all these crosses more than he did last game. So I'm not sure that's actually going to happen in this one. So I wouldn't bet on that, but
yeah, that's how I feel.
But yeah, otherwise, whew, in tournaments, play whoever you want. In cash games, get one Spain guy and just dinky down to the bottom here. Or go with David, I guess.
There's not even any other options between, like, is there even another starter between Hoylett and En-Nesyri? I don't believe so. So
that's like a 2K difference there.
From 6,500 from Hoilett, I don't even think there's another starter.
If like Vlasic started, I guess.
Vlasic, yeah, he but he's about the same price as Hoilett. So yeah, it's like, yeah, you're just like playing it to get a different construction. It actually doesn't even matter. He could score a zero, or he could score a goal though. So that's why, like, you know, he's the center forward. So it's not the worst thing.
Yeah, man, this is, it's pretty ugly here. So is it almost a 2v2 here? If we go to midfield, you could go with Enesiri and De Bruyne, or you could go with David and like two of these 7K midfielders, kind of a thing. Is that popping up in your lineups at all? I'm just saying this because I don't have Enesiri and I don't have De Bruyne in my initial build here. I guess, what are your thoughts on De Bruyne? I guess,
yeah,
I should
get that, yeah, out of, look, the way. I get it. I just don't want to fade De Bruyne on this slate. I don't know. I don't know. I still want De Bruyne's raw points. I still think he has, you know, he's got the highest ceiling the highest floor and still a big ceiling. I don't know. I can't fade De Bruyne here. It might be the better construction. Like, you know, we have Luka Modric, 7,700, pretty good play against Canada. Hakim Ziyech, 74, decent play probably against Belgium. I mean, those are the two guys you're talking about. I assume you're probably talking about Kimmich too. So maybe I'm going to be in the minority on this one, but there's no chance I play Kimmich on this slate. But you try to talk me into it, maybe.
No, I got Modric and Ziyech in.
Oh, nice. I like that. Yeah, on the same page then.
But I do think Perisic may be underowned if people are looking at what he did last game. But I think this is maybe not for cash games, but I think this is a pretty good spot for Perisic. He's most likely of whoever starts in the front three for Croatia to actually go 90.
Yeah. I think it's a pretty good spot, but not for cash. You know, too many. There's better. But the options we just mentioned are all better.
Yeah. So Sarabia 6,600.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with that, you're just kind of playing with fire here because you don't know if he's going to start.
Well, we might. I mean, you know, we keep getting these lineups. We had the Argentina lineup before the Poland game. So, I mean, yeah, that's how I planned for all that stuff, and other people planned for it too. We knew the whole lineup, and it was like 99%.
So if we knew Sarabia was starting, would he be over any of these guys? Would he be like a utility option? Where would he fit in, if he fits in?
I think he would be an option, right?
I mean, you'd have to say that he is, because we're talking Olmo for 2K more, and Sarabia is basically would be playing in that same position.
Yeah, and I'm just seeing, what would you do at forward then? Still play a Spain guy?
I'm a big Ferran Torres fan, so.
Yeah, I like him too.
I'd argue that because he came off early in a match that was over early, he is maybe kind of being saved a little bit more than these other guys, because Olmo went 90 in that first match, which is why everyone's projecting Sarabia to come in for him.
Yeah.
That seems to be the general thought. And I mean, Ferran Torres played 57 minutes in that first match because that game was over by then. So I think it feels like maybe Ferran Torres is like the number one most important player in Spain's top three. Is that?
Yeah. You know, it seems to change so often with them. Yeah. So yeah. Right now it sort of seems like that. But it just right now it does. Yeah, I agree. So what are we doing? Like, okay, I can't really come to a decision until we decide about defense. That's throwing me off. So okay, not yet though. Are there any cheap mids that are playable, you think? Well,
are you even considering playing cheap mids first off? Because I mean, we have all these guys who are from Sarabia on up that are you know, intriguing, not only from like cash floor plays, but they have upside. Like Modric takes PKs. So
yeah, well, it depends about defense.
Okay.
Right.
I mean,
so yeah, I take it the way you're talking, you don't want to play Alphonso Davies.
I have Alphonso Davies.
Okay.
I'm not sold on it. Again, I went pretty quickly when I did this lineup, but I think when I was just looking at this high end of defense, and he's not that much more expensive than these other guys. I think what he was 7,500 in that first game. And
yeah,
I mean, people still played him. I mean, we can see what he did. He got the yellow card and committed a few fouls, so that took down his floor a bit. But I mean, 300 more than Hakimi. Apparently, he's got a thigh injury, so he may not even start. So we'll see on that. But I mean, Hakimi against Belgium, 6,100, or like a Sosa here on the opposite side of Canada, 5,900. Would you look at those guys, or just, you know, go up 500, 300 bucks to get Davies into your team?
Well, I think people will be looking at David Rahm as the other option. Like either him or Davies is what I would imagine.
Okay.
I mean,
I assume Rahm's going to be most popular.
I would assume so too. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that. Again, I don't like playing guys against Spain, but I get it with Rahm. I mean, it's a pretty good price for a guy who plays on the wing and might take a few sets. I mean, might take a couple sets, but yeah, I don't know. I like Davies if I had to pick one. I just, you know, it changes the construction. Like, I mean, I'm looking at a perfect lineup, but it doesn't have any Spain forwards. So
I don't know. Are Spain forwards needed?
I mean, sorry. Well, I don't know. Maybe they're not. That's what I'm saying. I'm looking at a lineup with De Bruyne, Ziyech, Modric. Those are the three I want to play. But it's tough. Then getting a Spain forward is – you can only get a Spain forward if you don't play Alphonso Davies in that case. So maybe, like, I'm seeing I can get a Spain forward if I play – Rahm, so maybe I just end up there.
I think there's three defenders I'd look at least in this higher range. I would throw Juranovic in there. He's 4,600, and on the other side, Borna Sosa is 5,900. You're getting a $1,300 difference between fullbacks. And this match is arguably more favorable for Croatia than their last game against Morocco.
Juranovic is a good price. I thought about it, and I guess I'm only thinking for tournaments. You probably shouldn't consider this stuff for cash games, but I just picture him fighting with Alphonso Davies like all match. On that right side with Davies on the left wing, but it's fine for cash games. It's a good price and a good matchup for Croatia. Yeah, maybe I don't know though. Like, is Davies a priority? Is he or no? I don't know.
I'd say if we knew he was on PKs, I would say he's a priority, but. He took that PK. I don't know if I want to say he looked nervous, but the shot kind of seemed like he was nervous. And
he was not confident.
Like, this is a guy who plays left back for Bayern Munich. He's never in these kinds of situations where, like, he's the best player on his team. He's taking a PK on a world stage like this. It just didn't look like he's going to be the guy to take another PK. I'd argue it's going to be Jonathan David actually taking the next.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me at all if it was David. Yeah, wouldn't
Though,
surprise
me at all. Did Eustáquio take a PK for Porto in Champions League when like Otavio was injured?
No, I think it was. He might have. I don't. He might have, but I still think it would be Jonathan David.
Okay, David over Eustáquio here.
I think so.
I'm just looking real quick. He had two goals, but they were not PKs. Uribe actually took over him. That was when
Okay.
Taremi was suspended. Yep. Okay. Got it. Yeah, Jonathan David Evan is telling us he takes for Lille. So yeah, that makes sense.
Nice.
So that
Man.
is that it that does like kind of remove some for Davies from becoming, I don't know, a must or.
Man, I'm maybe yeah. Maybe I shouldn't have written off Batshuayi.
Oh no.
I just mean the lineup that I want to play has 7,400 left at forward. I mean, it's just like staring me in the face, but I can't do that.
Yeah,
But I
you
mean,
got Mueller.
no, that's even worse. That's even worse.
If Leroy Sané starts, he's coming back from an injury. I'm not sure he's ready to start, but if he starts, would he be in any of your tournament lineups?
Yeah, and like Sané actually for 7K, I would consider that in cash games, I guess. I mean, just because this slate's ridiculous, like you'd want Sané over Batshuayi, I think. Yeah, I just realized, like, forget what I just said about Batshuayi. He's completely out. Lukaku's back. Lukaku's like, if Lukaku doesn't start, he's definitely coming on.
Wait, is he back?
Yeah, he's like ready. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I read.
So just check, you know.
I could have sworn I
Go.
just read something that that said he was maybe in doubt for the third match, but I just read her update and yeah, he's training with the team, so okay.
So yeah, check if he's on the bench. Not that you would be playing Batshuayi in cash, but then there's no chance. I
That
mean,
basically
he's
remove you from playing him.
right. I mean, a good chance he could come off at half a lot of times if when that happens.
If Lukaku started, would need you play him at 8K in cash games?
I don't think so, man. No, I wouldn't. You got to play a Spain guy if you're up in the 8K range.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, so we jumped around here, but back to defender. Well, I have a question here. So it seems like on a lot of these slates, this isn't like Premier League where it's like we have these defenders that you need to play. Like I think you were off of like Trippier yesterday. Like we don't have like these must plays outside of like Trippier against Iran or something like that where he was 6K something, whatever. It seems like a lot of times like we get. It's just go with like the cheapest fullback, go with like cheap fullbacks and hope for 5 points instead of spending 5, 6K on these guys who half of them don't seem to be like hitting value. I mean, I
Yeah.
say that and Hernandez went off today, but also it kind of
No.
seems like for center backs that in the World Cup, it's like some of these guys have better floors than what we saw in the Premier League because maybe there's more. I don't know if this is a true stat or anything, but it seems like there's more tackles and interceptions from like center backs because these teams just aren't that as efficient as like Premier League teams, I guess you could say. What are your thoughts just on playing defender and how to?
No, I mean, you're right. Like I sort of mentioned it the other day, like I'm more looking for better spots, like where, you know, we see these matches. There are matches where there's a ton of floor points. There are matches where there's none. I mean, yeah, like Trippier the other day, you're right, I was off him for 7,700. That's just a lot in a match that's going to go similarly to the way that match went, like pretty often. When what I mean is just there's not a lot of floor points for England in that game. Just with the way the USA plays, probably not a lot of sets. 7,700 is a lot. Like, that's why I asked Jordan yesterday on the podcast who he played at second forward. And then when he told me that Pulisic was a mistake, I mean, think of that slate in your head right now. And if they ran it 100 times, which 2v2 would you play? Pulisic and Jacobs or Trippier and Crepin Diata? Like, now that we've seen how that went, I mean, can you imagine playing Crepin Diata and thinking he has a floor in any spot? And can you imagine, like, you know, Trippier only 1,300 less than Pulisic? Like, they're in the same range. Like, it almost seems crazy to me to be on the other side, but most people were. So what I'm saying is, you're exactly right. Yeah, I mean, some spots are good, but a lot of spots aren't. Like Matty Cash today. I saw people talking about it in Discord. You know, a lot of people fell for it again. I played him a little bit, not in my big stuff, but I fell for it a little bit too. I played him in cash. You know, Poland's just not good. They're not really going to dominate anybody. I mean, Qatar, maybe. You could play Matt Cash against Qatar. But, yeah, so you're right. I agree.
So while you're saying this, I don't want to talk about Crepin Diata right now anyway. So
I know, man. I know.
He had that early shot and goal, and then it was just the two forwards that scored for Senegal there. But so Croatia, I tried to look to see. So Croatia's going against Canada. Canada's coach, you know, came out and said, we're going to try and F them up or whatever he said. He's in the Croatia media. yeah, I mean, Canada need 3 points. This is a spot where they're probably going to attack. They attacked a lot against Belgium. They're a very counter-attacking team. But as I said, I like Croatia's midfield better than Belgium, so I'm not sure how that's going to look. But, like, we got Gvardiol and Lovren here. Center backs who had pretty decent floors in that opener. And you just look at Canada as a team and just how they play. They play with speed. They lose the ball a lot. They don't have a ton of possession. Like their best player, one of their best players, Alphonso Davies, like he's not like that great of a, you know, I don't know, possession kind of. Like mm-hmm. He's still working on his technical aspects of the game, I guess you could say. So you got to think that there's going to be tackles, interceptions, that kind of thing for these Croatian center backs. You got Gvardiol at 2,900. You got Lovren 3,300. Maybe not for cash games, but maybe for cash games. Like, this is kind of what we were talking about. Like, it depends. Is it worth it to pay up for some of these guys when you could get a 5 point plus four from the Croatian center backs here for 3K? So, I mean, is it crazy to play those guys in cash games?
I don't think it's crazy. No, I don't think their floor is maybe that high. I think, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. It's just in terms of paying down, looking for a spot to pay down. But I think we might get this guy on Morocco, right, in the first game.
Yeah.
If Hakimi's out, it seems like Hakimi's out. I mean,
Mazraoui, if he's out.
Oh, he's out. Yeah, Hakimi might also be out. But yeah, right. It looks like Mazraoui's out. So we have this 2600 guy, Yahia Atiat Allah. Definitely never heard of him. He plays for a club called My Dad, based out of Casablanca.
Why Dad?
Oh, that's how you say it?
No, why?
It's yeah, Why Dad? Sorry. Why Dad?
Not he your plays... dad.
No, Dad. Right. Why Dad is who he plays for out of Casablanca, but it doesn't matter. I mean, 2600 can play him, right? So
plug,
I agree.
Plug
with
him
you.
In. Is that it? Yeah. Plug him in. 2600.
Yeah. And if he wasn't there, I'd be looking for like someone like you said, like a center back in that range, Gvardiol. Yeah, do you know they got him valued at like 70 million or something, being chased by Bayern, Real Madrid, Chelsea. So like, I never mind playing guys like that.
That seems like a lot for Gvardiol, but I guess
he's a stud apparently.
I was just gonna look.
He's only 20 years old. That's part of it.
Yeah. He's been playing with Croatia for a while. I was just gonna look to see if like Atiat Allah here has actually is like one of those center backs who's playing like fullback or something.
No, he's actually like a winger, I think, right? Which is exactly what you want to see.
Yeah, maybe. I think Opta has an incorrect lineup for this Morocco Georgia matchup, so I can't really look at that.
I see left back, left winger.
Okay.
But I also see he's only ever played one time.
He's got
one cap.
He has 5 goals in domestic leagues, so he can score. And for his entire career, he has 241 minutes played for Morocco.
Yeah, one official cap. He played in a friendly against Georgia and actually picked up an assist. That was just like a week ago, so lock him in.
Yeah, I mean, we were looking at the Moroccan depth chart before the show, and it's like they have the center backs I mentioned, like Ziyech and Nesri, even Sofiane Boufal. Like, they have these guys that you know on a national level, international level, but then you go to the bench behind Hakimi and Mazraoui, it's like these guys you just never heard of that may have be forced to come into the starting 11. So just something to keep an eye on. Unfortunately, it's the early match, so like you can decide if you want to play Atiat Allah or whoever's in Hakimi's spot. It could be a situation where Morocco actually, there's been a couple times in this tournament where like the underdog has mirrored the formation of the other team. I'm not sure what that was. I think it was today, maybe this morning, but like we could see Morocco with 3 center backs and then maybe a couple guys playing in winger roles, like you said, with Atiat Allah. So something to keep an eye on as well. But
that's a good point. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I'd say like the 3 guys we mentioned here for cash games, and then Atiat Allah is down there, or if you want to go with the Croatia. Goalkeeper, play whoever you want. Does anyone stand out for you?
Yeah, this is really kind of a play whoever you want for
all
keeper.
Teams above 19% chance for a clean sheet. I don't think does that happen often? Above 19%?
No,
that seems
no one above 36.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had that. Unai would be my choice. Your boy, yeah. Unai Simon.
Okay, I was going to ask you to say his name. Okay.
Unai Simon, my guy, man.
Oh, it's good. He even has the accent mark over there. Oh, it's definitely Simone here.
Mm-hmm.
4,900 going against Germany. Germany need to win, right? Is this a situation where they need to win? Probably.
Oh, yeah, probably, right? I mean, a draw, I'm sure they could still advance somehow, but
yeah, because you figure, like, I guess Japan's that early match. If Japan win that opener, then that
maybe this is a spot where Germany beats Spain. I don't know. Maybe Courtois is just the best play. You are you gonna say? You're about to say Livakovic, aren't you?
Maybe.
I mean, no. Who's sticking out for you? Neuer?
I don't think anyone sticks out for
Neuer.
Me.
Maybe Neuer.
I plug Bono in because I don't like Belgium.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
But yeah, I guess Livakovic, because if you have Canada attacking, and we saw Canada struggle to score against Belgium in that first match, they just, it seems like all these North America teams don't have like this striker that can get goals when needed, like USA, Mexico, Canada. Like, none of these teams have that guy who can go and get a goal. And I don't know how many shots on target they had against Courtois, but yeah, I do
they
like
were, they were unlucky not to score, though.
True.
But you're right. I mean,
I guess Courtois only had three saves, but
Jonathan David's a top player. He can score.
But yeah, I mean, we're kind of just talking here. It's like pretty much all these guys. We're kind of saying the same thing for all of them. It's like, well, I kind of like this guy. I kind of like this guy. Any of them makes sense, and that's kind of what the odds say. I guess it's really in cash games. It's just put in whatever fits.
Yeah, whoever you can afford, definitely.
Yeah, and then in tournaments, just do the Morocco. I'd do the.
I think you could play Borjan too. I can see Canada winning this game, man. I might be on the Canada side.
Uh oh.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we might be opposite on this one. Croatia is old.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a ton of faith in Croatia.
But I agree with what you said, that their midfield is midfield core is solid.
You look at that midfield and you look at Atiba Hutchinson, 39-year-old starting for Canada in the midfield.
Oh, you don't like to see him in there.
You're talking about age, and then you got the 39-year-old.
Yeah, you don't like to see him in there. Right. Yeah, that's so. You're right. That's not good. Yeah, I agree. I do like that midfield three of Croatia.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at Croatia's attack. It's just you can't trust any of those guys. I actually trust like David more than anyone in the Croatia attack.
That's what I guess, I mean,
maybe like, outside of Perisic.
Yeah, I watched that Croatia Morocco game was tough to watch.
It was one of those games that was tough to watch. So for these matchups here, Belgium, they'd be playing Croatia next. Like, we had a situation today. There's been situations for like England, USA, Argentina, Mexico, where it's like one team won and they don't need to win this second game here because, you know, the next match is maybe more favorable, something like that. We had that with England where it's like they kind of didn't really put anything into that USA game. They're fine with taking the scoreless draw, really.
Yeah.
And then, for Mexico today, they put out this lineup, which was, you know, three center backs, a little more defensive. They knew that they were just going to crowd the midfield, not allow opportunities for Argentina. And sure, you know, Messi put one in from about 25 out. But you got these certain matchups where, like, one team needs to push. The other team is fine with just, like, playing off the counter and that kind of thing. So did any of these matchups, like, kind of go with that game script? Because, we do have Spain heavy on possession, but Germany need points from this match. Canada need points against Croatia. So does anything play to that game script?
Yeah, kind of that Spain game, right?
The problem is that Spain is the one that enjoys possession. So do you think it's just going to be like Germany just kind of really going all out?
No. But I just, you know, that game has the highest total. But I don't know. I could see it being.
Spain just passes it around, right?
I could see that. You know, obviously it can also go the other way because, like, Germany is that type. Germany is, like, the team that could push Spain into a different kind of game. Like, if they're up for it, Germany can score on Spain, and then that would make the game back and forth. But, yeah, I've seen Spain a lot of times just sort of control the game and pass it around a lot, and their guys don't have many floor points. They don't take many shots, and then all their attackers get subbed off in, like, the 60th minute. You see that quite a bit, but could also have some goals.
Yeah, I'm actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I wonder if, like, I'm not sure Fulkrug is the correct move here. just because they probably want someone who can actually run around a little bit more than him. He's more of like the focal guy you cross to in the middle kind of a thing.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, yeah, I hear you, but sometimes it's nice to have a guy like that, like, to try to hold it up, just to get yourself out.
Yeah.
Like, you see, like, it seemed like Mexico with those small guys up there, you can never get out. I mean, you can never pass them the ball. So sometimes having a big guy in the middle, you can get out of trouble. Some teams like to do that against a team like Spain or Man City or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree in terms of that matchup. It could be scoreless where Spain just is fine with, you know, maybe allowing a couple shots, that kind of thing, but just kind of controlling the match, almost playing like – what if this match turned out like the USA-England game? Would you still not want anyone on Germany? Just because you don't really have, like, that Pulisic guy who's on all set pieces and PKs kind of thing, where it's like Kimmich is still, you know, kind of a defensive role and Raum's still there as well. So,
yeah, and just because Spain is just such a different team than England.
Like,
I don't see any team just, like, bombarding Spain with possessions and chances. Like, but you can do that to England. The U.S. couldn't do that to Spain. Couldn't have done what they did to England to Spain, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah, I probably agree.
Maybe,
yeah.
I could be wrong, though. This is just my opinion.
I mean, England had to put Jordan Henderson in the second half. I mean, maybe not need is the correct word. They did. And yeah, well, I guess it helped them at times. But
yeah. Southgate thought they needed to. he did.
That was kind of funny, but
yeah, like bringing on Jordan Henderson to save the day against the Americans, you know? I mean, what a move.
Yeah. All right. So how are we going to win tournaments? I don't even know if we've given good tournament options here. It's just kind of this Spain-Germany match.
I'll tell you how to win tournaments. It's the same as most slates, but it's
Croatian center backs. Got it.
No, it's just something in general, but this slate especially. I mean, you need to separate what you're doing in cash games and thinking about in cash games. This is not Premier League DFS. This plays, for the most part, much differently than Premier League DFS. Like, there's just fewer locks and smaller floors. In general, I mean, I mentioned it with Jordan yesterday, but we keep seeing it over and over again. I mean, how many floor points did Messi have at half? I mean, 2, 3? I honestly don't know. Something like that. And he scored with his one chance from 25 yards out and assisted with his one shot assisted. I mean, how many people were like kicking themselves for playing Messi when everyone else smashed and Messi's sitting there as the highest owned guy on the slate? 2 points? We saw what KDB did. We saw what Trippier did. None of these players are locks. So what I'm saying is you need to script every game. How are they going to go? Figure out which one you want to fade. Focus on the other ones. Pick one that you think is going to have the most floor points in it. Play plays from that. Find one team that you think is going to create chances and score goals. Play 3 attackers on that team or something like that. You see these games where entire games bust, and it's just like there's such an edge because there's – yeah, I don't know. People play the tournaments like we play Premier League DFS tournaments, and these are at least so far playing much different than that, and I don't think it's like a fluke or like a small sample or anything.
Is that why I haven't won 20K yet? Probably.
I mean, you got to get really lucky too. That's part of it. Now, I guess to talk about specific things, like I mentioned Canada. I don't mind playing some Canada. But I kind of like this first game, to be honest, too. Like, I mean, you can make a case, like it maybe is a strong word. You can make a case for any of these games. I'm just trying to not say the Germany-Spain game because that's going to be the most popular, right?
I guess.
I mean, maybe not. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Slate is so weird. But I think it would be, and that's a fine option. You know, that's the most likely game to, like, end up back and forth.
Yeah, but just based off the odds, probably will be. And they're the two biggest teams, so that makes sense.
But, I mean, like, I don't know. There's just, I have, yeah, I'm going to, I don't want to say exactly what I'm going to do, but more focus on one game being back and forth and maybe finishing 2-1 or having a few goals. And one of the other games is 0-0 and, you know.
I mean, I think we're in the, I'll give my exact strategy here. I think we're on the same game here. We just have these games. We have the Spain game where it's possible that maybe that one is scoreless because, you know, Spain's already a possession team. The Belgium game too, with Morocco, where Belgium, you know, not in a must win situation here. They're fine with a draw, really. You look at this Canada.
Tell Morocco go up 1-0, right?
Of course. I mean, yeah, you could say that about anything, really. So
no, sorry, go ahead. No, finish.
I'm just going to go to Croatia and Canada. That's what I'm looking at. So Croatia are a team that they love to cross. And while they are older, maybe slower, Canada plays as fast. They play off the counter. And they also not that great defensively. Fine defensively, but they will give up opportunities, and I think that one is most, maybe not most likely to go up and down, but no, I'll say it, most likely to go up and down, because Canada are done if they don't get points out of this one. They're done, and they're already a team that's not really like built to just sit back and kind of let Croatia dominate kind of a thing, because they're not going to be able to stop Croatia for 90 minutes if they're sitting back kind of a thing. So I would go with like a Perisic. You'd go Modric just for the PKs. You can look at those full backs. I mean, you could really look at any of these guys. I'd look at everyone in the front three. I'd look at Perisic, but even like Kramaric, that kind of thing. Like Croatia loved to cross. Kramaric is only 6,900. We haven't mentioned him. Like this guy is maybe most likely to score for Croatia, and if they're crossing it in there, Kramaric is a guy who, I don't know, at Hoffenheim, he has scored 4 times in one match for Hoffenheim before. And then, I mean, if you want to go with like a Davies or someone from Canada, that's kind of what my favorite tournament move is.
Yep, I support that. I'm going to be on that game too. Yeah, the one other thing I'll be on, and I'll like sometimes I let the slate dictate like what I'm gonna do as long as I'm okay with it. And we mentioned and Nesri and the price difference between him and every other forward. So like you take him, Ziyech, they combine for the first goal, and then you have De Bruyne so in that same game. So that's a nice little three, and Nesri, De Bruyne, Ziyech. And you can add another Belgian player if you want. You don't have to.
Hazard.
Obviously, that's what I was going to say. I mean, many people are off Hazard. I'm willing to give it another chance. Oh. I'm not saying. Look, I'm fine. If you never want to play that guy again, I'm okay with it.
I cannot wait when he went 20,000 with Hazard. That's going to be.
I'm not going to give up.
It's going to be incredible.
Not yet. I don't know. You know, I agree. You know, he hasn't looked great. He hasn't looked great for Madrid. But there were a couple glimpses he had in that Canada game where
he drew 4 fouls.
Yeah, but and there were like a couple chances where it could have been better. Like he was playing further forward than I thought. He like had some chances where he almost got through or almost played a guy through, or like KDB just missed playing him through. Like, and all it takes is one of those for 4,600. Mm-hmm. So it's fine for tournaments, or you don't need any other Belgium guys. You can just have like Nesri, KDB, Ziyech. That's a nice little three. And then with your other spots, you play Canada and Croatia. Jonathan David with a Croatia forward, or Jonathan David with Luka Modric, or, you know, some Davies and some other guys. So that's a route. And, yeah, then, of course, you can fade these two nasty first games and hope nothing happens, and then that Spain-Germany game finishes 2-2. That also is something that could happen.
Yep. Cool. I think that's all we got here. You can find Ryan at Ryan Belongi. I am at Rotozroik. Zdroik. That's on Twitter. Rotowire.com/soccer trial. Free 2-day trial. But we're still, what, halfway through group stages about? We still got another week of group stages, I want to say. So we'll be back tomorrow. I believe it's me and Jack Burkhart on the show. We'll be doing it a little earlier on Sunday morning. Ryan, good luck on the 20K. Maybe I'll win it one of these days. Maybe not. But
I think you will. One of these days. Keep grinding. I never thought I'd win 20K. But
I stopped playing the main, to be honest, unless I feel really good about something. but maybe I'll start again sometime. Maybe it'll be tomorrow. Once I get that Kramaric goal. Kramaric, sub 10%. Brace. Why not? Why not? All right. Thanks for listening. And we'll see everyone tomorrow. Good luck on Sunday slate.
Good luck, everybody.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.